Me as we read just a few verses from God's Word. Standing, please. Last week we talked about people being oppressed by rich people, that we're going to have to give an account for that and so forth. And there was quite a struggle for believers in that early church. Many of them were very poor and so forth. We come to verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Father, as we consider this scripture this morning, help us to understand and to become more patient as we wait for the coming of the Lord. Help us to be faithful in serving you. Help us to be faithful with one another. Help us to understand that the end, your intention is the end will be better than the beginning. That as a matter of fact, the best is yet to come for believers. Help us to rejoice in that. Help us to grow as we hear your word and apply it to our lives today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus is coming, amen? You believe that? 300 times or so in the New Testament, the New Testament says that Jesus is coming in one way or another. I don't mean he's coming in one way or another, but he says it in one way or another. And you know, there's one thing I've noticed. I've noticed that when a person says, oh, I wish that Jesus would come right now, it's usually not because things are going well, but because things are not going well, right? You ever heard anybody say, boy, things are going great in my life. I mean, my family is really great and the job is great and everything is wonderful. I wish the Lord had come right now. No, that's not usually what they say. It's usually, oh, things are terrible. I mean, the world's in a mess. And, you know, we've got such health problems and financially we're just not able to make it. And I just wish the Lord would come right now. Right? Three words are used in the New Testament referring to the Lord's second coming. One has to do, we would call it epiphany, or that's the English word. It's a showing or a manifestation of Jesus Christ. There's another one that we would call an apocalypse, or it's a different word in the Greek, a little bit different, but it means an unveiling of Christ's power and glory. And then there's a third word, parousia, which is a word that is talking about an emphasis on Christ's physical presence. Literally means being alongside. And that's the emphasis of our text today. Oh, how they longed for their Savior, their Lord, their King, to be here and be alongside. They were struggling with so many things. And they knew that if He were here, everything would be okay. He would put everything in its proper place and things would operate correctly. So that's kind of the sense here when he says, be patient until the coming of the Lord. James responds to that longing with an exhortation to patience. And this patience is not a passive resignation, but rather it's an expectancy, an expectant waiting on the Lord. Patience has really two different aspects to it. One is long-suffering, and long-suffering has to do with other people. Be long-suffering toward each other. We're not perfect yet. There's going to be things that really irritate us and so forth, but learn to be long-suffering with one another. The other one is the word endurance, and that's used in relation to circumstances. Persevere. Stay put. Now listen to this. Stay put when you feel like running away. Okay? Persevere. Okay? That's what he's saying to these believers. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Let us run with patience." Persevere. When you want to run away, no. Stay the course. Keep on going. It's our blessed hope that Christ one of these days is going to come. And of course, when he comes, he's going to usher in for us unbroken relationships to a life marked with separation right now. He's going to usher in unhindered service to a life restrained by all kinds of things. Shyness, weariness, ignorance, all kinds of things that keep us from serving the way. That day will be over when he comes. He will usher in unclouded vision, while right now we see through a glass darkly. And he'll usher in untangled messes when things are just plain messy right now. James says, be patient. That day is coming. Our text shows us Christ demonstrating patience in threefold way. And I'm just going to hit lightly on all three of these this morning as we will do some singing and go into our communion time together. But I want you to see in verse 7 and 8, Jesus Christ as a farmer and his harvest. Now you can look at this as you being the farmer or just looking at a farmer as an illustration, but I see it as Christ being the farmer and his harvest. If there's one thing that a farmer must be, it's patient. Now I speak as one with great authority. I lived the first 3.5 years of my life on a farm. So I really know about farming. I really know very little about farming. Used to visit my granddaddy and grandma on my mother's side about every summer for a week or so. And that was pretty much my experience. And then when I was a high schooler, I went out and baled hay and stuff, but for farmers. But I want you to remember that concerning the Lord, he is working his field. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, you are God's cultivated field. We are the field. And God is working his field. And he has put great expenditure into his field. Now, a farmer puts a lot of money. There's a lot of cash flow. A farmer will tell you there's a lot of cash flow in farming. But when it comes down to the bottom line after expenses and whatever, maybe that number's not so big. But a lot of money goes into it, buying the land initially and then all the equipment that you need to prepare the field and so forth. And then the money that's invested into that seed that goes into the ground, and then the harvest time and so forth. There's a lot of money that goes into it. The Bible says, we the field were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has invested in his field great price. Great money, only it was the blood of Jesus Christ. The experience of the field, how dependent on the weather are farmers. Right, Marv? Is the weather. Is there enough rain? Is there too much rain? Is it too hot? Is it too cold? Did the frost come too soon? Or too late? Or there's all kinds of things. Here in this text, it says in verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. In Palestine, they have two seasons, wet and dry. Very wet, very dry. And the wet time is October through April, but there's an early October, December, and then there's a late March and April. And I'm sure there's some concern when it doesn't come just at the right time and all that sort of thing. It's not always pleasant. Rain isn't. Yesterday we went out for a little while and it was raining and it was kind of cold and it was kind of miserable, wasn't it? But rain's very important. It's very typical of us, the field, needing the hot times in our lives, the dry times, the rainy times, the weather that's very uncomfortable. But it's essential for a farmer to have those kind of weather patterns too, essential to the end product. And it's the same with us. As he's working with me, there's things that are not very comfortable, they're not very pleasant, but they're necessary to the final product. We often hear people say, be patient with me, God is not finished with me yet. And that's true, isn't it? God is patiently working his field. Be patient. He'll come in his time, but until that time, he's working the field. He's working on us to make us what we ought to be. The expectation is found in verse 7 as well. You know, bought with a precious blood, sown as precious seed, and now harvested in verse 7 as precious fruit. Be patient. God is working. And God is working. We remember in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some people count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We say, oh, if the Lord would come. You know, if the Lord would have come 25 years ago, I wonder how many of you would say, I would have been left behind. But God is patient, and he's working his field, and there are those who come to know Christ as Savior as we are waiting, and we're thankful for that. Secondly, we come to verses 9 and 10. See Jesus Christ as judge and the decisions that he makes in verse 9 and 10. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. See him at the door. Jesus is coming again, but he's standing at the door. One of these days, the door is going to come open. He's going to come to the bench, which brings a certain amount of solemnity to the whole thing as well. Jesus Christ is coming, but he's also going to come, and the next thing will be standing before him at the judgment seat of Christ. And so he gives a warning. He says, don't grumble against one another. As you wait and as things are difficult and so forth, don't allow yourself to be grumblers, especially to one another. Don't do it. There's a lot of reasons for that, but for one thing, it causes turmoil in the body. Don't do that as you're waiting for the Lord. They bore their sufferings not so well, some of them. Evidently, it's why James is giving that. And he says, take the prophets. And they knew who they were from the Old Testament. And they bore their suffering with patience, not grumbling. Notice that. Their patience was based on, thus saith the Lord. God gives us information that helps us to praise him and not be grumblers. Then he reminds them, the judge is at the door. Grumblers will be judged. What a difference when the judge steps through the door. Turn in your Bible to the left, back to Romans. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth. Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming. Until that time, though, don't be grumblers, but have a spirit of love toward one another. Scott read those verses a little bit earlier, so appropriate. And be like the Lord Jesus. Be like the prophets. And glorify God with your life instead. And then thirdly, in verse 11, it says, indeed we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. See Jesus Christ as Lord and see his purposes. He's working toward a goal. He's the master and he's working. You have seen the end intended by the Lord. Romans 8:28 that we often quote, we know that all things work together for good. It has the idea that God is working all things together for good to those who love him, to those that are called according to his purpose. God does have a purpose and has a goal for our lives. And he has a goal and an end in what's being played out in history as well. And he gives Job as an example. Notice his experience. It was very hard. Very difficult. I dare say none of us have gone through anything even close to what Job went through. And yet, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What a tremendous statement to be made after Job had gone through that. He didn't understand everything that was going on. But the end, the Bible says in 42:12 of Job, now the Lord blessed the latter days more than his beginning. I don't know if I can quite grasp that. Can you? Lose all of that, and how can it be better at the end? But, it was for him. No matter what God allows, no matter how difficult we may be sure that his end, his purpose, is that the end may be better than the beginning. And it's really true that the end, the best is yet to come for the believer, no matter how difficult the times may be. We've all heard stories similar to this one. Years ago, there was a great explosion at the mine, and many miners were trapped, and they didn't know what to do. People, relatives, and all had gathered at the mouth of the cave there, a mine, and grieving. And they called for a pastor. The pastor came. He didn't really know what do you say at a time like this when probably a good number of their relatives were already dead inside. And who knew if any would be rescued. And he simply held up a treasured marker, bookmarker, and on the back side, you've heard stories like this many times, were all kinds of threads. It was just a mess of nothing. It didn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. He just held it up. And then he turned it around and it says, God is love on the other side, on the other side. And Jesus is coming to show us the other side. Right now, we see a lot of mess, don't we? And sometimes it's in our lives and it's all around us. And whether it be health or finance or family or whatever it might be. But when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to show us the other side. God is love. And the end will be better than the beginning. Revelation chapter 2. Of course, chapter 2 and 3, Jesus is making an evaluation of the churches of Asia Minor at that time. And it says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works and your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Then he goes on to say, but I have one thing against you. I'm not going to read that today. But how he complimented that church for their patience, kept on, keeping on. Reminded of the verse we preached on a couple weeks ago, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's keep on keeping on and being steadfast for his glory. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what he has already done for us on the cross. Thank you that he's in heaven interceding for us. Lord, one of these days, he's going to come back and get us. And we do long for that. And yet, Lord, you've called us to patience, to long-suffering, for endurance, that we might serve you until that day. Lord, help us to be steadfast, immovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.